Tonight in 2 Chronicles 34, we are going to be looking at a story. And it's going to be about a king who's trying to fix Israel's problems. But he needs something very specific in order to fix that problem. Remember in Joshua 24 how we talked about the Israelites were beginning to go after fake gods. Gods that weren't real. Gods that were represented by poles that they would erect in the air and then they would worship them. And Joshua was trying to tell them, don't do that. That's wrong. That's sin. Put those things away. Instead, worship God. But here in 2 Chronicles 34, when Josiah becomes king of Israel, the Israelites had been going back to what Joshua told them not to do. This is years after Joshua. And they've returned to worshiping those fake gods. They've returned to grabbing idols and putting them in their houses and worshiping them and saying that they love them and trust them more than God. But then, here comes King Josiah. And he comes after one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. And King Josiah, he enters the stage of history. And follow along with me as we find out how King Josiah handles the sin in Israel. We're in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Now think of this. How many of you guys in this room are 8 years old? Raise your hand. Anybody that's 8 years old? Do we have anyone? How about 9 years old? There's someone in the back. How about 9 years old? Look at that. All these people. Now all you guys stand up. My 9 year old, stand up. Now, how many of you guys would like it if one of these people in this room was king of Israel? I mean, they would love it, but I mean, think of this. You can be seated. Think of this. Those 9-year-olds are king of an entire nation. I don't know about you, but I would be just a little bit nervous. I bet if I ask their counselors, they would be leaving the country. Because they understand that it may not be wise to make a 9-year-old king. But here we have, in 2 Chronicles 34, we have Josiah. And he's 8 years old. He's your age. And he's crowned king of a nation. Pay attention as I read. Verse 2 is very important. And he, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. King Josiah wasn't a good king at age 8 because of any sort of amazing policy or amazing war that he fought. King Josiah wasn't known for any amazing political stance that he had. He was an amazing leader. What made Josiah a good king right off the bat is he chose to follow after God. King Josiah illustrates for us what we talked about. He wanted a relationship with God. That's what mattered to him. And because he wanted a relationship with God, we find out that later on in his life, read with me, follow along in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. King Josiah seeks after God. And in order to seek after God, he starts removing the fake gods from Israel. It says he tears them down. He removes the carved images, the molten images. He removes idols from Israel. You go all the way to verse 7, and it says that he cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. King Josiah is a perfect illustration of someone who is putting away idols and seeking after God. But he's doing it in a very physical way. He's going out into the land and he's hunting down anything that might represent a false god, any idols, anything that's been carved out of wood to represent a god that they would worship. He's pulling down poles. He's burning things. He's crushing things. He's getting rid of the idols. He's doing whatever it takes because he recognizes that in order to seek God, you cannot have fake gods in your life. We get down to verse 14. We're going to skip through all the way to verse 14. In the previous verses, we find out that Josiah decides to rebuild the temple. The temple had fallen into disrepair. The temple where they worshipped the one true God had fallen into disrepair. So Josiah sends out people. They go to the temple and they begin to fix it up. And in the process of fixing it up, they find something very important. Verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, that's the temple, Hilkiah, who's the priest of the temple, found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Right here, I can imagine Hilkiah. They've sent out a group of people. They're in the temple. They're cleaning out the temple. And he comes across a book. He opens that book up and he begins to read in the pages of that book. And he realizes that that book is actually the Bible. Let's see what he does with it. In verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So Hilkiah finds this book. He realizes this is the Bible. This is important. So he sends it over to one of King Josiah's high-ranking officers. That officer then takes it to King Josiah. He brings the Bible before him and he reads it to the king. Now remember, King Josiah is a type of person that he wants to do right. He cares about a relationship with God. So he's removing the idols. But he recognizes that there's probably still problems and he doesn't know how to fix all of them. And here we are in verse 19 and it says this, and it came to pass when the king, King Josiah, had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. For you and I, that expression, he rent his clothes, seems a little weird. Why would someone tear up their clothes when they hear from the Bible? But what that expression is trying to communicate is it's showing that King Josiah truly cared about what the Bible says. He expresses great grief and distress and humility. Back in that time, if you tore your clothes, it was an expression that says, I am in great distress. It could be accompanied with crying and weeping. This is Josiah expressing humility. Because as he hears the Bible read, he begins to realize that there's things the Israelites had been doing that were wrong. There were changes that needed to be made in the nation of Israel. They'd strayed from doing right. But when he heard the Bible, he said, I need to do right. We as a nation, we need to do right. And we've not been following God fully. We find out, skipping all the way to verse 27, King Josiah sends off someone to talk to God, and God sends back a response to Josiah. He says because the Israelites in the past hadn't been following the Bible, they'd forgotten it, they hadn't followed after it, that they were going to be punished. But then he says, specifically to King Josiah in verse 27, he says, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words, and against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee, also saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eye see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. that section right there, is God telling Josiah. He says, King Josiah, because you responded to the Bible correctly, because when you heard the Bible, you were willing to obey the Bible. When you heard the Bible, you humbled yourself and you said, I want to do what the Bible says. Then I will bless you. And I won't judge you the way I plan to judge the Israelites for their sin. King Josiah listened to the Bible and he obeyed it when he heard it. Now, if King Josiah had been given the Bible, it's read before him, he hears it, and if he had decided instead to say, I don't need that book. I've got things figured out on my own. It'd be very similar to Travis standing up here with all these pieces and parts on the ground and the tools over there and a broken engine, being handed a manual. Opening it up, seeing that it tells him where to put everything, closing it, and throwing it on the ground. If Travis did that, all of us in this room would be like, are you kidding me? What have you done? The answer's in your hands. But you threw it on the ground? You didn't listen? You didn't obey? You didn't do what the manual said? What's your problem, Travis? My guess is, if I gave Travis a manual, he would open that up. And if I gave him enough time to work on this engine, he would work to follow every little instruction that that manual had for him. Because he recognizes that manual shows him how to fix this engine. Josiah had already shown a willingness to do right. And when he's handed the Bible, he says, this has the answer. If I want to know how to live tomorrow, I need this book. If I want to know how to get rid of idols, fake gods, I need this book. If my nation is going to do the right thing, I need this book. If I'm going to treat people right, I need this book. We see later on in the passage that King Josiah then presents the Bible to the entire nation, and he wants the entire nation to follow after God. He says in verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. King Josiah took the Bible, recognized that it had the answers. He listened, he obeyed, and he spread it to other people. And he told them, take your heart and make it about God. This morning, we removed an idol. We pulled something out of our heart, and we said, this shouldn't be what we love or trust more than God. Tonight, based on 2 Chronicles 34, we find out that what should be in our heart, what we should love and what we should trust, is the Bible. This needs to be what we seek after each and every day. This needs to be how we live our life. We need to say, I need to know what the Bible says. I need to obey what the Bible says, just like King Josiah. We need to replace idols with the Bible. Now, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, yep, I want to replace idols with the Bible. But we need to take it a step further, and we need to understand, how do I do that? How can you, as a person, wake up tomorrow morning and begin to do exactly what Josiah did? I have three very simple things for you today. The first one is simply Listen. When the Bible is preached, listen. When your counselor shows you something from Scripture, listen. When your pastor preaches, listen. When your parents tell you something from Scripture, listen. At any point, whenever the Bible is preached, taught about, talked about, communicated to you, listen to what it has to say. This means that you need to be working to remove distractions. If it's hard for you to listen in service, like right now, maybe if you're taking notes, that'll help you. Maybe tomorrow night you need to sit next to a different person who won't distract you so that you can listen to the Bible better. Maybe when you're at your church, you need to put your phone away and turn it off completely, or just not even bring it to church so that you're not distracted, so that you can listen to what God has to say. A second very simple thing, but very hard to do, is simply read. You've got to be reading the Bible on a daily basis. When I look at my life, and I began to realize, what changed my life? When did I decide to start doing right? That decision happened when I was in about sixth grade. And I was sitting in a junior camp, just like you guys. And I realized that I need to be reading the Bible. And if you take that to heart, and if you're willing to take the time to figure out a plan, some way that every single day you can read the Bible, whether it's a large chunk or a small chunk, if you're just reading a couple verses, whatever it takes, that every single day you can have yourself in the Bible so that you're learning about God, so that you're getting to know Him, so that your relationship with Him is growing stronger and stronger. If you're not reading the Bible, then you're like the Israelites who didn't have it. You don't know what God wants for you to do. I encourage you to ask a counselor, a pastor, a parent to help you develop some sort of plan. Whether it's using SPECA, the devotional plan that we've been working on this week, or using another one that your pastor, your parent recommends to you, reading the Bible is extraordinarily important. And finally, it's not worth listening to the Bible and reading the Bible if you're not also willing to obey the Bible. This simply means that when the Bible tells you not to do something, when it tells you to be kind to others, then you're kind to them. When it tells you not to lie, then you don't lie. It's the willingness to say that no matter what the Bible tells me, I am willing to live it out.